Welcome to the game with Glenn Quatermain and Adrian Barrage. Quat is a veteran footy scribe with hands so small he can only carry 2 pints. And Barra, an Eagles original, Perth Demons diehard, and regular face on Channel 7.
Hello, Adrian Barrage here from 7 News.
He'll tell you about the 1991 Grand Final, except he got dropped after the prelim. We don't promise any fancy sound effects or bells and whistles. It's just two blokes talking football.
Yes, thank you, Dennis. And that 1991 Grand Final still burns. I am Glenn Quatermain. Doesn't burn for me. It was a great day. I'm Glenn Quatermain, Chief Sports Reporter for the West Australian. With me is Adrian Barrage of Channel 7 West Coast Eagles and Perth Football Club fame. We are brought to you by Tab Touch. Got the touch? Download the Tab Touch app today. Chances are you're about to lose. For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au. How are you, Barra?
I'm good, mate. I'm glad you mentioned that because that reminds me that this weekend on Sunday at Optus Stadium, there is the reunion of the 1987 team, the first ever team, which I actually played in, the inaugural team, as they say. The only time you ever use the word inaugural, basically, is about teams like that. It's a crazy word. And I think I saw Mark Zanotti on the front bar last night. Did you see Zanotti?
I didn't see it last night.
Yeah, yeah. No. He was telling some funny, very funny stories. Because he actually told one story how we were overseas together. And he mentioned us. So me, Michael Brennan, Alex Ishenko and him. And I think we're in London. And what's the best hotel in London called?
The Savoy.
Savoy. It's like the Savoy or the other one.
Somewhere in Mayfair. The Savoy Hotel is probably right up there.
So on our last day in London, we decided, because we're a bunch of halfback flankers, we said, let's go and stay in the best hotel in London for one night. All right. So I think the Regency or the Regal, it began with R.
Way above my pay scale, Barra.
Anyway, so we lobbed there, the four of us, four nufties from Australia, and we buy this one room between us. I don't know how much it was, several thousand or something stupid like that. And we go and stay, and we'd only had two beds. And they said, you can only have two people in the room, actually. It's one of those type of rooms, you know. We've got four of us. So Ishenko and I went in because we were the best dressed, right? We got the room. And it was on, what did you say the street was?
It's on the Strand, I think.
Yeah, one of the most famous streets
it's
out the
Strand,
front.
I'm so sure.
And it had those doors you could open out onto the road. And so we said, boys, just get downstairs and we'll throw the key down to you. Right? So we opened the doors and we're, Zanotti, monkey, here it comes. And we threw the key to the room. This is like 1987, right?
Yeah.
Onto Bond Street. It was one of those streets, one of the real most big, famous streets in London.
So they only gave you one key?
Well, no, we were only supposed to have two blokes in there.
Yeah, I know. But
so we threw the key to them so they could sneak in.
Yeah, I've got you. Yeah.
sneak into the best hotel in London. Yeah. Anyway, we spent one night there. So, but then Alex gets on the phone and he's talking to his manager and to the Brisbane Bears.
Yep.
And he's being recruited. He's been signed while we're sitting in London. And this is no bullshit. So Notts goes, ask him if they need a halfback flanker. And he goes, this is true. He said it last night on the front bar. He goes, oh, so-and-so, what about, I've got Mark Zanotti here with me in London. Would you like, he'd like to chat to you as well. Do you need a halfback flanker? And they said, yes, we do.
So that was how Zanotti got signed.
That's how he ended up.
What about you? Did you put your hand up?
No, I was entrenched to the team, mate. I was a bloody star.
Oh, yeah,
me and Michael Brennan, we were sweet.
Yeah, Monkey was not going to go anywhere, but I thought you might be.
Because John Todd came in and he was going to get, he said, I'm getting rid of the Rat Pack.
Now, can I
ask? We thought that we weren't part of the Rat Pack, but we knew that Alex and Zanotti were.
Hey, just one last thing, and please don't criticise us, anyone who doesn't like old stories, but what were Ron Alexander's last words to you before you ran out for that first game? Because it was history.
Now, I can't actually remember. Okay. Well, am I supposed to know this?
No, not really.
No, we were just.
Question without
there's
notice.
Two things I remember strongly is Ross Glendinning leading us out.
Yes.
Because he was like
famous photo, isn't it, of Roscoe running out there? Yeah, great, great player, great West Australian.
He was our absolute hero. None of us could believe we were playing with Ross Glendinning.
He's our hero over in Melbourne too. We loved him.
Oh, mate, superstar. We were going, how good is this? I'm playing with Ross Glendinning. He's speaking to me. He's telling me stuff. And then running through the banner and the Eaglets,
Did you have eaglets?
I don't know. Did you see the eaglets?
I don't remember the eaglets. I remember the bluebirds at Carlton. Mate, I remember the Sydney Swans.
The eaglets
Swans.
Put the bluebirds in the shade.
Is that right?
Let me tell you, they swooped over the bluebirds. I don't know where they got these eaglets from, but, mate, it was like 11 out of 10.
Okay.
Every one of them. Like, it wasn't one of, you know, you normally have little girls or, you know, young people.
Yeah.
They were mature
women.
It was a big distraction. Mm. And they used to hang around with us a fair bit after the game too. So
yeah, we probably won't go there.
No, forming relationships and understanding people and getting to know people.
So running.
I wonder if they'll be there at the reunion on Sunday.
So
it'll be interesting to see how the eaglets scrub up nowadays.
Apparently,
because some of our blokes don't scrub up that great.
Apparently, they've got a good number two of the 87 team there.
Are they?
Yeah, is about 80% or something of the team there. So
Danielle Laidley.
Yep.
Johnny Worsfold. I don't think he played in the first game.
Stavver would have been there, wouldn't he?
Stavver, yeah. Hopefully Chris Lewis.
Monkey will be there.
Monkey Brand will be there with bells on. So will Alex and Zanotti.
Good on you.
We can go through the team. Andrew McNish, some Phil Scott, Laurie Keane, Dwayne Lamb.
Was McConnell boys in there?
I think they came later. Andrew Lockyer.
Oh, yeah. Barge.
I think the only bloke not coming is Darren Bennett.
Okay.
Who lives in America and was the pro bowl kicker for San Diego Chargers or whatever. Became the first Australian kicker over there. Had an unbelievable kick.
So when you came back, you were behind at three-quarter time, weren't you?
31 points.
And so when you came back and won that, were you in the rooms afterwards thinking, oh, this is pretty easy, this VFL caper?
Mate, to be honest, to be serious for one second, I think the culture of the West Coast Eagles and their winning culture and their never say die attitude started that day. At three-quarter time, 31 points down, we all look around, we go, we're not losing this. Phil Narkle lifted, John Anear lifted, Laurie Keane lifted, Wally Matera lifted, and we stormed home in front of 20 or 30,000. Mate, it was absolutely fantastic. I did not take part in that last quarter because I'd broken my cheekbone. Remember that guy, Poole?
Yeah, like, Trevor Poole.
Trevor Poole.
Played for Richmond in July.
Mate, I put my head over the ball and he gives me the biggest elbow to the
VFL,
face.
Young man.
That's exactly what it was. He broke my cheekbone. And so I went to hospital after the game to have my cheekbone levered back out. Because what they do is they make an incision in your hairline, they put a lever in, they pull it back up, and that's it.
So this is your first game of VFL and you're thinking,
I'm sitting there with my eye like that. And you know who was on the bench with me?
Who?
Chris Lewis.
Oh, Louis.
17-year-old Chris Lewis. So I start on the bench with Louis, and I'm looking at Louis, and I'm thinking, we're in trouble here. Because he looks so young and chubby. I'm thinking, nah, we're not winning today. Because, you know, and when he went out there, he was super. Like, he was just an amazing, for a 17-year-old, he's straight
gifted
out of Christchurch.
Gifted footballer.
Oh, mate, he just turned it on as well. He's just a special player. I'll never forget, I was in hospital and Michael Thompson came in.
Tomo,
yeah, you know, I love Tomo and all that for Channel 9. And he was a reporter back then. And he came in. I don't know how he got in with a camera. He got into the hospital with a camera.
Great journalism.
I'm in bed about to have surgery or just had surgery. And I had a piece of sticky tape on my face over my cheekbone. It said, do not press or don't compress or something, you know. And Tomo, being the media person, went, oh, how good is that shot? That's going to look great for the news, right? So he was going to interview me with this do not press thing under my eye, you know, a bit of tape. But me being clever, I pulled it off and said, and he came back in. He was that disappointed when it wasn't there. But I still had the big black eye. So I missed 4 weeks after that. But I'm serious. The culture of the West Coast Eagles, you can quote me on this, started that day in the first ever game when they fought back from 30-odd points down. A stunning, stunning win. And they had Mark Lee and Waitman. And,
very good side.
Mate, Richmond, I don't know if Roachie was playing. They were not mugs anyway.
Roachie might have retired.
Rainsy.
Yeah, Jeff Rains.
You know, some of their biggest names. Kevin Bartlett wasn't there, I don't think. But anyway, so all those boys are getting
and
back
a fair
to
fair effort too, given you were very transient, the Eagles, earlier. You didn't really have a home, did you? You were training here, there and everywhere.
Oh, yeah, Mount Lawley Teachers College, because Ron Alexander was a teacher, I think. So we used to train at a teacher's college, changing the toilets. Like that's, we got, because the waffle clubs wouldn't let us train at their grounds because they've worked out that, oh, here we go. These blokes are in the VFL. This is going to wreck our competition.
And they've ended up saving the competition in reverse.
Sort of.
Well, they fund them.
But they downgraded. The comp got downgraded. Yeah. And so they were right in one way. And you know we couldn't train on Subi either? So we play at Subi, but
why
they wouldn't let
that?
Us train on Subi.
Because they wanted to protect the surface.
Because it was controlled by the WA Footy Commission.
Yeah, okay.
And they said, well, the WAFL. It wasn't until the Eagles nearly went bankrupt and the government stepped in and they set up the whole WAFC and all that sort of stuff that parity was achieved. We trained at Arthur Pexton Field out in Midland. I remember Dean Turner got spiked by one of those steel spikes in the dark because he nearly sort of pierced his, you know, that big vein in your leg.
Yeah.
It was so close to, like, being in real trouble.
Femoral artery, yeah.
We had to shoe off the cows at one stage and a couple of sheep. And Toddy loved, this is when Toddy was coaching, he loved it because, you know, toughen us up. And we trained at the back of Guildford on the mud flats to make us used to mud in Melbourne. Yeah. Oh, mate, we're the travelling Wilburys.
Different
right.
sort of mud there, mate. Hey, so we should move on. Firstly, an element of sadness, Sparrow. The sporting community and the media has lost one of the great blokes this week.
Oh, yeah. And I saw a lovely post from your brother as well about Nathan Templeton, Sunrise reporter, an Olympic reporter for Channel 7. I think Basil roomed with him in Rio when they went to the Rio Games. So Basil's pretty cut up too, the Lord Mayor. Just a fantastic guy. You know, had a few difficulties, yeah. But he's got young kids.
As we all do. And just had a great impact on the media just by the outpouring of emotion and grief this week.
Just had a brilliant voice and was a fantastic guy. I didn't delve into anything else apart from on the surface. You know what I mean?
Yep.
I know what he was like. So I don't know the actual. I do know the ins and outs, but I don't know what sort of bloke he truly, truly was. But I know that he was fantastic to work with and was always up and about. And so strange, you know, just 44.
Yeah, it's way too young. Way too young.
And so those poor kids.
And also our thoughts go to his family and many, many friends in the community, in the media.
Media, yeah, particularly Channel 7.
Big week in the AFL, Barra, and I'm a bit angry about it. Angry's a very strong word, actually. Disappointed. Very disappointed. Look,
I could sense that you were, mate.
Yeah.
I could sense.
We're talking about the Jeremy Finlayson situation. I'm not disappointed with the 3 weeks. I think that's a good call by the AFL.
Three weeks.
I'm disappointed with the double
standard. You think it's a bit over the top?
Well, it is when you compare it to Clarkson. Alistair Clarkson getting 0 weeks. Double standards, Barra. Massive double standards.
Yeah, that is double. But the 3 weeks is a massive penalty.
They need to send out a statement. I thought he'd get one.
Isn't 1 week a statement?
I think it is. But look, I'm not upset with the three.
It wasn't like he deliberately went out to sort of upset somebody. It was unprovoked.
It was just a stupid comment. And it is an upsetting comment.
You just can't use that language, right?
To the gay community, it's upsetting.
But you shouldn't use that language anywhere because we will bob up when you're in an argument. I think we've had that discussion. But I could sense on that wonderful new radio show on the ABC that you were feeling pretty angry about what was going on.
Are you listening?
On the ABC.
You're listening.
Yeah, how's it going, mate?
Oh, good.
Richie Smith from the Masters, from Augusta.
Yeah, had him live on the Augusta fairways. But
Minwoo Lee.
You know, it's not – I'm not – put it this way. I'm not going to be moving house.
What are you getting? 500 a
pop? Don't worry, mate. I won't
500
be,
a segment?
You won't be seeing me. No.
That's what I've heard.
It's the ABC.
Oh, don't bull twang, mate.
Don't pay a lot of money, mate.
You got to rock up at 6:30 at night and finish at, what, 8-ish?
Mate, it's not. It's
do damn, a debrief.
It's the ABC. You know what? You will not be seeing me.
Do you go in there?
Hosing my lawn with a gold-plated nozzle next to you in the leafy western suburbs, Barra. I go to Bunnings. I'm a battler. I go to Bunnings and get my $2 plastic job, and I'm just northern suburbs, just battling away.
Mate, I've seen your share portfolio at Seven
West.
Oh,
please. Please.
That's right.
No, hello to all the gang at the ABC. It's terrific.
Who's been Who's a star on that show? Is there, apart from you?
Well, you've got Clint Wilden. You've got Ashley Nelson.
Clint's a great
Mitch Turner.
He's a big demon.
Great Sherrod Wellingham, ripping bloke.
Sherrod Wellingham played for Perth.
Yep.
You know, Perth has deep roots everywhere.
Yeah,
deep roots, deep, deep roots.
So you keep telling me.
Clint is a huge...
He is massive
Mark
demons,
Redding's
man.
Is massive demons.
He's huge.
Sherrod Wellingham played for us. Tanya Armstrong's dad was a super
Ken,
coach.
Yeah.
Ken was one of the great coaches at our club and player, by the way. Nadia Mitsopoulos, and they're related to the great Chris Mitsopoulos.
Yes.
Huge. If we ever get going, I'll tell you what, we'll have that much media
you
support.
Have a monopoly
it won't just me be
media.
Going out on it. Who's your team? Who's your waffle
Sharks.
Team?
Sharks.
Why?
Because there's a bit of a Hawthorn connection back in the day.
With who? Judgy.
I love the Sharks. Well,
Judgy.
Lester Smith, Judgy, yeah, a few others. Yeah, I just, yeah, I've always. I picked a team when I was growing up in Melbourne in each state. So in Adelaide, in SA, in the Sandville, it was Port Adelaide. Over here, it was East Fremantle. And, of course, it was Hawthorn. And and Tasmania,
Demons.
It was whoever Hudson
can
played
we,
for, Glen Orchie.
Can we be your second team?
Yeah, of course. You are my second team.
Beautiful. Thanks, mate.
Great mate of mine used to idolise the club, Simon Jenkins. So, of course,
mate,
you are
rest
my
in
second
peace.
Team, mate.
Jeremy Finlayson, last thing I'll say about this, they've been attacking his house.
Just disgusting.
Not on.
Well.
His wife's unwell.
That's vandalism.
I can totally relate to that scenario. With
yes.
his, you know, his family scenario. And, mate, if that happened at my house, given if, you know, what's going with, I'll just deal with his wife, you know, she's got cancer. Mate, that is a f***ing disgrace. Honestly, those people, they must have known they need to have a real good look at themselves.
So,
that is just not right. And I think it. Taking too long to decide
yes,
on the penalty probably didn't help.
No, get it done
Speed
within
it
24 hours. Why do you drag it out over the week? You're dragging. Look, he was contrite at three-quarter time. I'm not apologising for him, but he knew he'd done the wrong thing. He apologised.
Mm-hmm.
You know what you're going to do. Just get on with it.
He used that F word that you should never use,
yeah,
right?
Which
okay.
you just used, but we'll bleep that out.
No, yeah. but no, but that's you can say what it is because
yeah.
people
of
need
course.
To know
oh, sorry,
what,
that word.
What
yeah,
not
yeah.
to say. No, that word. And... So he says that, Finlayson says that, Clarkson, the coach, gets riled up about his player getting injured and he uses sock pucker and gets a $20,000 fine
yeah.
versus a three-week thing.
Yeah.
Now, I researched this and I said, why did that happen? And there was two reasons. One is the first word, the F word, is considered much worse than the C word that we mentioned
mm-hmm.
that Clarkson used, okay? So that was one reason. And the other one is that Clarko was in the heat of the moment reacting to something.
And, oh, please.
And, yeah, I know.
I don't buy that.
So what
that.
Do you think about
he's
that?
55-year-old. He's been in the industry for 3-4 decades. I don't agree with coaches approaching opposition huddles anyway. I think he should have been smashed for that alone, let alone what he said. No, don't buy it. I think it's double standards. And there's no better organisation, Barra, in the world than the AFL for saying, nothing to see here, let's move on, we're right. I don't disagree with the Finlayson penalty, but I totally, it's a mess. And they're going to double it now. Every transgression going forward, apparently they're going to double.
Just well, now you've had fair warning too.
Because
it used to be sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Like, did you cop that from your parents when you were growing up?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you used to cop that, didn't you? Like,
but words
hey, Dad,
do hurt.
Yeah, well, that's but in our era.
We didn't have social media.
Yeah, no, You already jumped in defending it before yeah. I even know, you know where I'm going. But I was, like, when I was growing up, I go come home and go, hey, Dad, some bloke said this to me in the schoolyard. And I go, son, it's only words, don't worry about it. He doesn't know who you truly are, blah, blah, blah.
That's good advice.
And that was arming us against bullies and that, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Mind you, we took matters into our own hands normally, or some of us could, or some others couldn't, but... Sticks and stones may break my bones. Words will never hurt me. But now they've done the research, as you've pointed out, and it shows that words can hurt you, and you do take them on board, and they do strike a blow. And if you've got red hair or you're skinny or you look a bit different from someone else, it just reinforces everything.
It's a different world now. It is a different world. Social media has made it a different world, Barra.
But it's not. Social media is not on the footy field.
Oh, yeah, but it is because it drags on off the footy field onto social media afterwards as well.
Yeah, yeah. You're talking about the community cops it. But
yeah.
Finlayson, he wasn't doing social media. He was just going bang.
Yep.
And in the old days, what's on the field stays on the field. That used to happen to Chris Lewis with the racial vilification. They fixed that up. They fixed up religion. Now they've fixed up you can't talk in this way.
Yet. Yeah, they haven't fixed it yet. But they're on. They're
well,
they've on
sent the message, haven't they?
By the way, apparently the... pride in the community, pride in sport, it's like a module you do online. And we all do those modules, those different types of modules.
I am intimate with it because we had a similar scenario.
There you go.
Yeah.
So that's an online module, right, that you have to do. He hasn't got it in his inbox yet, Clarkson. That was 5 weeks ago. So pick your game up, AFL. Hey, mate, we better pick some winners this week. But first, we'll get some tips from the great man from Tab Touch, David Short.
Shorty's Tips.
Welcome back, Shorty. And Isaac Heaney, who dragged the Swans across the line against West Coast last week, has taken the game to a whole new level.
He has indeed. G'day, Quarters. Barry, he's been phenomenal. First five games, 140 disposals, eight goals. He was $251 to win the Brownlow at the start of the season. He's now the favourite at $6.50. That's one of the biggest trim-ups I've seen in Brownlow betting for many years.
$250
for $1.
That is long.
Now you're getting $6.50 for that same dollar.
That's amazing. Who else is in contention? Who are the next two?
Also towards the top, Nick Dacos, I think, is third in line, and Green from GWS. They're the top few in betting at the moment.
I reckon Errol Goulden might have got the three votes anyway against West Coast.
My tip pre-season, mate.
Yeah, right. Oh, we get this every week, don't we? The cooler, West Coast. What's happened now?
Yeah, back to the old West Coast cooler days, Barry. I'm sure you knocked a few of them off back in your day.
Yeah, we've had
their zip four start to the season hasn't been ideal for them. I thought they were actually better last weekend, to be honest, but they're $2.50 at the start of the season to be the Spooners. That's now crunched into $1.42, and North Melbourne, who were the same quote, are now out to about $4.50. So the Coasters trimming up every week to win that spoon.
Might go into my local Thirsty Camel bottle shop and see if I can get some West Coast cooler. I tell you, had a very nice drop back in the
day.
Sold
out, I think.
Again, more success with the Māori.
Yes, good luck last week. We were fortunate to get our legs over the line. This time around, I'm teaming up with the D's to get the job done tonight. GWS and the Gold Coast both to win, and the Cats to win by 25 or more. That's at $2.72, so let's hope we can continue on this good run.
My tip for the Brownlow is actually Connor Rosie at the moment, and he was spectacular on the weekend. People who were at the game said when you watch him in person, he's quite incredible.
Yeah, he's a beautiful, smooth mover, isn't he? Really makes good decisions and he's very clean. I think there was one play where he dummied around about four players in the one passage. 27, 28, 26 and 36 disposal-wise, plus six goals. So he's not just getting lots of it, he's hitting the scoreboard as well. 26 into 15 to win the Brownlow now, Barra, and punters that love disposal playing. He's been a lock of 25-plus throughout the course of this season.
Who's our big drifter?
Big drifter for this week has been Essendon. They're now out to $4 to make the top eight, and in their game for this weekend, they're 263 out to 285 up against the Bulldogs. So punters have gone cold on the Bombers.
Thanks, Shorty. Have a good weekend.
Pleasure, guys. Good luck, punters.
Thank you, Shorty. And Barra, let's start with tonight with a big West Australian flavour. Melbourne, $1.43. Take on the Brisbane Lions, $2.85 at the MCG, 5:30 p.m. Western Standard Time. And great to see, Barra, Subiaco's Colton Tholstrop debuting for Melbourne. So, Cozzy, pick it out. Colston Tholstrop in. And I can just tell you, Barra, that this kid is so highly rated. The Eagles had him at number two behind Harley Reid. Everyone talks up Daniel Curtin, terrific kid, terrific player, but he wasn't their number two. This kid was their number two. Melbourne was very happy to get him when they got him. He's got the vital element you need. He's got swagger, Barra. It's not over-the-top swagger. It's just enough swagger. Beautiful user of the football. We'll ultimately see Colton in the midfield, but he'll play at high half forward initially. So good luck to Colton.
He's come in for Cozzy Pickett, so he obviously plays there. But it's weird how he hasn't played, if you're wrapping him up like that. How did he not play?
Because
Cozzy missed round early games as well. So
you've
there
still
was a spot
to find
there.
Your way, though. You've got to find your way and you've got to adjust to playing with men. You know, because he did play a little bit of league last year, didn't he, Colton? But he was...
I did find that he had no dramas playing with men. He's a big unit. He's got that hair. He's from Esperance.
Yep.
Who's the best player ever from Esperance?
Jeez, you've got me there.
You got anyone?
Of you? You
apart
clearly,
from,
you
apart from
have.
Tholstrop?
You have.
Bloke used to wear a glove. He's got a really bung hand, finger. Used to be able to kick it from
Quinton
miles.
Lynch. Yeah. Is he from Esperance?
I think he's from Grasspatch.
Okay.
That's where his farm was, Grasspatch.
Okay.
I'm not laughing.
What do you know about Esperance, mate? Now, off the coast. Lovely.
Now, Mr. Bloody Travel Agent, what do you know about? You must have gone through Esperance. You must have some pooparama
long
story.
Long time ago. No. Because when you go across the Nullarbor, you
haven't been to Esperance.
Well, it's a long way down.
Oh,
I have been to Esperance. I've driven through it.
Oh, you have you?
Yeah, beautiful.
What's the beach there?
I don't know the name of it.
What's the
I just, the archipelago is lovely.
Yeah. What's the national park called?
Is it the Ongarup? What is
no,
it?
No,
I don't know what it is.
They've got these. Oh, anyway, it's got the, they've got the widest sand, in the world.
Okay,
they've measured it.
Have they?
Yeah.
Against what?
Against other white sand.
Now you're making this up as you go along,
mate. You go there and you go, holy crap, that's white. And when the sun beams in. The biggest sharks as well.
Is it hot? Does it ouch, ouch, ouch as you walk on it in the sand?
It's squinchy.
That's,
you know, like.
Okay, we better pick a winner. Good luck to
it's
Carlton.
It's a good spot, though.
Good luck to Carlton Thulstrup. I'm going with the D's. Love their form. The Lions, not overly impressive, nodging up their first win.
Hey, where's your champion data's pupper up my stats?
There's a few there. But
got nothing.
Well, no, there is. Brisbane's lost 15 of its... I'll tell you, the one that does stand out is Brisbane's lost 15 of its last 16 matches at the MCG, with the only win, here we go, coming in the semi-final against Melbourne in 2022 by 13 points.
Wow.
Melbourne gettable in the
last
two
finals. And
they
lost the grand final there too.
But just. I reckon that's almost a win, don't you?
I don't know.
I don't think...
What I don't know is... Have you got any more pop rum in it?
Well, it certainly wasn't a Brisbane failure at the MCG on grand final day. Let me put it that way.
No, that's right. The only thing I don't know is that win over North Melbourne, did that really spark Brisbane back to form?
Mm.
And I've got less... Melbourne's got less to prove because they are going pretty well. 70 points over North Melbourne, biggest win of the year so far. In their favour, Lachie Neale's 250th game...
Mm-hmm.
That's good, isn't it?
Is it?
Yeah. 250th game for Lachie Neale.
So if you're a Brisbane player and you're about to run out, you're thinking, oh, I've got to win this because it's Lachie's
250 games?
Yeah. Well,
so that'd be including the Dockers, right?
That's a great effort. I'm not saying it's not.
Where does he sit?
Does that fire up his teammates?
In the pantheon.
But he's won two Brownlows.
So you don't fire up for your teammates in a game?
Yeah, I do, but 250, it seems like a bit of an in-between milestone.
What about 250 in between? Mm. Holy crap, that's massive. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Where does he sit in the pantheon? Very high. He's won two Brownlows.
At Brisbane. Is he in the top 10?
Oh, yes, of course.
Mate, they've got some bloody good players. Yeah, well, you know they won three flags in a row.
He's won two Brownlows.
So who are you leaving out? So you're going to put Voss, Ackermanis,
Jonathan Brown.
Black, Jonathan Brown, who's
Lepich.
Lappin, Lepich. So you're almost at 10 already, mate. Mm-hmm. So who are you leaving out?
Probably
you know?
Finds his way in.
You're going to leave McFly out.
Played a lot of his career at Freo too, so that you've got to take that into account in terms of longevity at that one club.
But that's what I mean. So he probably doesn't get top 10 yet, you're saying.
I'd still find a way. All right. Two Brownlows.
I'm going Melbourne by 14 points.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going, that's very specific, I'm going Melbourne by about, I'm going to go, I think it'd be a little bit closer. I'm going inside 10.
Okay.
Friday night, Marvel Stadium, 5:40 p.m. The Western Bulldogs, $1.42. Essendon, $2.85. Good judges, Barra. Tell me, they went to Gather Round last weekend and Essendon was the worst team they saw last weekend.
Oh, shocking.
We're taken apart by Port Adelaide and it was interesting, Barra. Brad Scott after the game was saying, we would go them on the inside, they'd beat us on the outside. We'd go them on the outside, they'd beat us on the inside. And interestingly, Port went one-on-one with them at quarter time, and that was the end of the ball game. Port went one-on-one. There was no zone. They just went one-on-one, like good old-style footy back in the day. So they didn't like it, Essendon. So I'm going to pick the Dogs here. I'm not convinced about this game. This game, to me, is a real red flag game. I'm just not sure which way to go. It's a bit like this with West Coast Richmond, to be honest. But I'm going with the Western Bulldogs.
Well, the Dogs almost beat the Cats, didn't they?
Yep.
So, you know, that's encouraging. And the Bombers look diabolical.
Yep.
Geez, they get into them in Melbourne. As soon as they drop off a bit.
The Dogs?
The media. No, the Bombers. The media just slips into them. They're
well,
no
they're
good. They've got no
club.
Good player. Who have they got? They got... The midfielder, what's his name?
They've got Merritt.
They got Merritt, that's it. Who else they got?
Parrish?
No, they don't like Parrish, mate.
Yeah.
He's part of the problem, apparently. And you can understand it, I suppose. They got pumped by 69 points. Mind you, a lot of teams are going to get pumped by Port Adelaide. People who went to that game reckon just watching Connor Rosie and that operate.
Yeah.
And Jason Horn, Francis.
Jack Butters.
Yeah, mate, it's just spectacular to watch the midfield in action.
I think Ben Mackay's been a good addition to their defence, which was an area they were lacking. Jade Gresham shown them a bit. Xavier Dursman, he's been good, a good acquisition from Port Adelaide. But they're still in the, for me, it's a bit of no man's land still, Essendon. And the Dogs, I don't know what to make of them.
On your champion data there, is there a Marvel Stadium record for either of the teams,
no.
Bulldogs or Essendon?
No.
So I wonder who plays better there, because... I mean, the Bombers will fire up because they've been copping it over there. It'll be, I reckon it'll be a close game. But I'll go the Bulldogs too.
Manuka Oval, that's in Canberra. You know it well. Saturday, 11:45 a.m, home of the old MCG scoreboard. The Giants, $1.33. St Kilda, $3.35. Interesting matchup in this game, Barra. Jack Steele v Tom Green. Played on each other in the elimination to final last year, which, of course, GWS won. Steele had 38 and 8 clearances. Green had 35 and 5 clearances. And conceded, still conceded, Green got me on the day. Two boys from Canberra as well, Barra. This is going to be a good game. It, can the boa constrictor crush GWS? I'm not sure. I'm going to pick the Giants, playing beautiful football, multiple options in attack. But this is a game they could easily drop because St Kilda, if they can get it down to their level.
But Ross Lyon has turned the Saints into a bit of an attacking team too. That,
but he can still turn the game on its head and reduce it to a bit of an arm wrestle if he needs to.
His offensive weapons come from half back, but still, they're a different side this year, I reckon, the Saints, and they do look really good. How's this? Only Fremantle has conceded fewer points per game so far this season than GWS and the Saints.
Yep.
So they're both... strangulate teams, and Fremantle the best. So Justin Longmuir's defensive tactics are just, people are recognising it now. However, the Giants have had an incredible offensive side this year, leading the league, did you say this, in points per game at 115. But mind you, they've played the Eagles in North Melbourne as well.
They have.
This is a serious test for the Giants, isn't it?
Yeah, just a couple of stats on the Giants players. Sam Taylor, who we believe's poised to sign a new contract. If he isn't, then, geez, Eagles and Dockers, get into him. Hasn't lost any of the 15 one-on-ones he's defended, winning 8 while neutralising 7 this year. Yeah. He's a hard player to get past. Toby Green had a team-high 13 shots at goal from 3 games at Manuka last year. But he was off target with 5-5 and missed 3 shots at goal. And Stephen Coniglio, I just want to mention Coniglio, averaged 31 disposals, 12.7 contested and 9.7 score involvements from 3 games at Manuka last season. So they do like that ground, Barra, and Coniglio having a really good start to the season as well as many of his teammates. I'm picking the Giants.
Yep, the Giants for me, but it is a fascinating game, no doubt.
Saturday, 2:35 p.m, Marvel Stadium. Carlton, $1.26. Adelaide, $3.85. Barra, is this the game Adelaide can break the drought, or does Carlton just roll on? I'm still to be convinced that they are a premiership chance, but I did like the way they found a way to win against Freo last week. There's been a lot said about the final 40 seconds, the final couple of minutes, but I just like the way good teams find a way to win, Barra.
Jeez, that...
I'm picking Carlton, by the way.
It's at Marvel Stadium, right?
Yep.
And Adelaide... Oh, man, I just, after 4 straight losses, when they're getting closer to a win, aren't they? I mean, they just got to,
well,
that's the problem.
I'll throw one
it?
Stat at you. Last year, they were the offensive weapon, right? They averaged 95.3 points per game, which is massive. They were number one scoring side last year, right? Averaging 57 points per game this season, ranked 17th. They're not scoring at all. There's a massive, and we saw it here at Optus. There's just that when Freo arm wrestled that game down, and Longmuir said they were going to do that. Well, he said after the game that that's what they were aiming to do. They couldn't find a mid-forward connection. Their forwards aren't firing. I mean, there's a lot of talent down there. You know, they've got Saligo coming through the middle. You've got Rochelle down there, Taylor Walker. They're just not getting the job done.
And the Crows have been in every game, though, haven't they? It was 6 points to the Gold Coast, 19 to Geelong, 15 to Melbourne. So I understand the forward connection's letting them down. They sit 8th, did you say that, in the league for forward entries into 50. So they're not going that bad. They just can't score as much. I tell you what, they're going to lift, aren't they? And Blues bubble's got to burst. They nearly burst. They should have burst last week because the Dockers were robbed. Yep. They were robbed, my friend.
History won't have a W against Freo, though, my friend.
Mm.
Who are you picking?
I'd love to tip Adelaide here. I'd take Adelaide at the line for sure. But I'll go the Blues, but I'd take Adelaide at the line any time.
Okay, big one. Saturday, 5:30 p.m. Port Adelaide, $1.34. Fremantle, $3.30. Fremantle has lost 9 of its 11 matches at Adelaide Oval, failing to beat the Power at all in the 6 games between the sides at that venue. Some good stats for Frio, and we like the way they're going about their footy. They've won the ground balls by 13.5 per game at stoppage, ranked number one. Also been involved in the second lowest scoring matches this season with an average of 145 points. So they're getting the game on their terms. You know what I like about Frio? And it'll be interesting to see whether Darcy plays this week, Barra.
On managed minutes. Would you play him on managed minutes?
Yes, because I reckon Soldo now rucking for Port. I reckon if you can get Luke Jackson to spend more time in that forward line, you can stretch that Port defence a bit. Now, we know it's going to be a battle of these two great midfields, but Port, who've injected a couple of players, Zerk Thatcher is one, Radaglia is another, to help out Alir in that back half. I reckon if they just try and stretch that defence a bit, because they haven't really got any stoppers in defence, Port Adelaide.
Mm.
That could be the key to this game. You know what I really like about Frio? You'd never, ever have you gone to a game to watch a team smother. You'd almost go to watch the Dockers smother. Don't you reckon they're smothering this year?
Yeah, they're
been
very
a highlight.
Good. What I'm excited about is the battle of the midfield because, you know, Rosie, Horn Francis, Butters versus Buddy, Andrew Brayshaw, Hayden Young, Caleb Sarong.
It's a ripper, isn't
I
it?
I reckon Hayden Young, I think he's got to sit on Connor Rosie, doesn't he?
Yeah, just well, he can. That's a strength.
Try to be a cooler at least. I mean, you can't.
Well, you can't do nothing with Connor Rosie.
You can't really tag anyone. Is he taggable, Connor Rosie? The way he goes through traffic.
Well, we're about to find out.
Yeah. I reckon Hayden Young's the man to match up
I'm
on
I'm picking
him.
Port to win this game, by the way. I reckon, and here's a call, I reckon if they can get within 4 goals of Port at the Adelaide Oval, that tells me they're playing finals.
Feels like that Fremantle could strangle them. That Josh Draper, mate, he's going to be a player.
Yeah.
He will be a player.
Should they have, ultimately, he kicked, what, 3 or 4, Kerno? I thought he did a good job for most of the game, but he got off the chain when it counted. Should they have gone with Luke Ryan last week?
Mate, the Dockers should have won. Mm. That's the bottom line.
Yeah.
They were robbed, so whatever Longmire did was correct.
Got to learn how to kill a game, mate.
Don't worry, you got the older Bulls as well, the two Brownlow medalists going facing off Nat Fyfe and Ollie Wines. So if Port Adelaide wins or breaks even in the midfield, you think it's going to be tricky for them not to lose. But, yeah, I'd love to tip Freo there, but you're probably right. Port Adelaide at Adelaide Oval with that. So what's that song they sing from INXS?
Never Tear Us Apart.
Never Tear Us Apart. That's spectacular.
They're a West Australian band. INXS, a few of the two Farris brothers, were they West Australian?
Yeah, I think so, mate.
So why
have
they claimed them as an Adelaide thing?
I don't know, but bloody works, mate. I don't care how it got there, but that's when they do that,
yeah,
with their holding up the
good.
No, it is good.
Yeah, a bit cringy for me, but
cringy.
They get into it.
What would you do? Back in Black.
Yeah, maybe.
Dockers use AC/DC.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
Well, there's a Frio connection there with AC/DC. What's the INXS connection with Adelaide? That's what I want to know. They just plucked a song from nowhere, Barrow.
What about in the NFL when they, or is it the college league when they have those songs when they come out? The Sandman one.
Oh, a great song.
Oh, mate, the whole joint's rocking, mate. That actually works. We should do that over here.
We should. 5:30 p.m. Saturday. At People First Stadium, let's call it Carrara, Gold Coast Suns $1.23 versus Hawthorn $4.20. Lots to like about the Hawks. Narrow loss to Collingwood last week. Absolutely gone at halftime and found a way back in the game after Blake Hardwick was moved forward. Barra, one stat that I think is important to note, Ree Hawthorn. They've won the post-clearance ground balls by 7.2 per game, ranked number one in the comp. That's one of the stats that coaches look at to see how you're travelling. That's a good stat for Hawthorn to be in front of. But can't just still lacking key forwards with any real bite in the game. They're obviously bereft in defence. The Suns going along okay. And also, the one thing I'd say about this game, Barra, is the ball drop. Do you know what I mean by that?
Mm.
Conditions there, it's humid, And all teams that go up there say
Matt Rowe conditions
really hard. Yeah, Matt Rowe conditions really hard. Dropping the ball is very different. So I think the Suns win this game pretty comfortably.
The Hawks are struggling in the clearances, aren't they? Yep. Third least clearances.
Been better the last 2 weeks, though. They were shocking the first two or three.
Yeah, but I think Hardwick's, he's turned the wheel a little bit. He seems to be promoting some of the younger guys, and it seems to have worked. Obviously, Warple for you guys came back to form.
Yep.
Gold Coast put the Hawks away by 67 points last time they played, and they've improved. So
not winning that, Hawthorn.
No, I think the Gold Coast.
Yep. Sunday, GMHBA Stadium, 11 a.m. Geelong, $1.03. North Melbourne, wait for this, Barra. North Melbourne, $11.50 to win that game. The Cats have scored 22 points per game from their centre bounce clearances. Ranked number one in the competition. Geez, they look really well set up at their centre bounces, Barra. And North Melbourne, since 2004, has won just twice against the Cats at GMHBA Stadium from 15 attempts. They're not the lone ranger there, losing the last two by 112 and 62 points, respectively. Sheasel having a good season again, but not too much, really. They just can't kick a winning score, North Melbourne, and really, really hard to see. This would be the shock of the season if they get up here. Geelong for me.
Just adding to your stats there, the Cats have won the last 11 games in a row. 11 games in a row against them.
Yep.
And the average margin has been 78 points.
Yep.
But I like that Charlie Combin, was it?
Yep.
Did you see him?
Yep.
He looks pretty good. Cherry starred last week, but the Cats, keeping on, keeping on at home. Stengel. Hawkins will bounce back, won't he?
Yep.
That was a quiet game for him. That was strange. Maybe coming off the hype of his
day, you don't know.
Was
it was a big milestone game. What, 350? Yeah, it's just,
They must be just absolutely pooing themselves about having a match up on Cameron and Hawkins with that back line.
Yeah.
Like, who's going back there?
Yeah,
Geelong for me.
The last game of the round, Sunday, Optus Stadium, 2 p.m. West Coast Eagles, come right back in here, Barra, $3.30. Richmond, $1.34. The Eagles have broken even for inside 50s in each of the last two rounds against the Bulldogs, and it was 51 apiece, and Sydney Swans when it was 53 apiece. The Eagles had a season-high pressure factor of 186 in round four, also posting a season-high post-clearance pressure factor of 156. We're all looking forward to seeing Harley Reid's first encounter with Dustin Martin. Might be a double fend off, Barra. Harley Reid has also broken 11 tackles this season, the most of any player in the AFL. Of course, he broke 7 last week against Sydney. That's been well documented. I'm looking forward to that contest. The other thing about this game that's a little bit quirky, in terms of West Coast, is Shai Bolton, for me, is the key to this. If he gets off the chain, Richmond win. Do they go to Brady Hoff? Do they go to Tom Cole? The other thing is, Richmond, it's a small forward line, Barra. Very small. They had Kaczynski was their only tall last week. So what do you do if you're West Coast? Is it a chance to maybe play Jamison more in the ruck, put Bailey Williams forward, give you an extra forward target to help out? Just an option. What are your thoughts?
Mate, I think the Eagles will win.
Okay.
I'm feeling pretty confident about this. And myself and my friend Ben Cousins, we both think that the Eagles will win. Extra day off. Shai Bolton, as you said, is the key. Just got to sort of cool him off. He kicked 4 on the weekend, and he loves playing at Optus. All that space, all his family will be there and cheering him on. So he'll really fire up. So if they can get hold of Bolton. But the only thing that worries me is Harley Reid. Who dug up those stats about the broken tackles? Do you know who came up with them?
I certainly was listening to it during the call last week.
So the seven thing, well, almost like Dusty.
I was watching it. They said 6, and I just kept watching, and then he broke another one. So
and who put him up against Dusty for this week? Because he probably won't play on
Tom Barras.
Did he?
Oh, he was asked a question at the. It was, by the way, keep those coming, Tom Barras. What a great media performer,
mate.
He is. That was so entertaining, his conference during the week.
He does take the P155 a bit, I reckon.
I love it.
Because he's the smartest bloke in the room.
Yeah, he is.
Like when we go there.
Yeah,
we don't mind saying it, do we?
No.
And he's almost like having a bit of fun, playing along a bit, manipulating us a little bit, just giving us, he knows how it works, gives us a bit of a line.
Well, he's a chip off the old man's block.
Yeah,
Tony was one of our great mates.
I know, so he's
great journo.
Don't don't feel manipulated, but we are being manipulated. And probably the Eagles didn't really want Dusty Martin thinking, hang on, some kid wants to come after me?
You know what, Barra? It's good fun line. It gets people through the gates. I think it's great for footy. I loved every bit of it.
Mate, I'm not complaining. I'm just saying that it's not good that great for Harley. Because you know what happens now?
Yeah.
It's not only does Dusty come for him, but because he's got this record, right? He's just taken, had broken seven tackles. What do you think? If I'm going up against him the next week,
you're making one stick.
Mate, I'm going through him.
Yeah.
And there's no way. If he tries to brush me off and they watch the tapes, because you know what happens? When they start watching the tapes, that's when you're screwed. That's what, that stuffed me up a bit for a long time.
Well, what did they look at you?
Because I had a
couple. Is there an actual tape?
I had a couple.
Strengths. This is going to take you 5 hours, boys, and they poured over it.
Once the coaches work you over,
yeah.
The opposition coaches.
How did they work you over?
No, well yeah. I'm about to explain. Okay. See this microphone? Yeah. I'm going to tell you.
Tell me.
So, one, I had a good game, and I think I kicked four and played midfield, wing, and all that sort of stuff. And then the following week, I think it was a tag or a run with thing. And once they'd worked out how you play, like how you bump, how you, when you run to the boundary and it's one-on-one, you're going to take the guy out. Like I tried to do that. I missed him because he knew I was going to do it. Like once they study you, you're Gonski. You've got to go to a whole new level. Like Peter Matera, that's why he was such a champion, because every week the opposition would study him and how to beat him and what he did. This is what he's going to do in this situation, boys. At the stoppages, this is what he does. He'll try to handball it to himself on the ground. Just, you know, just be up him there and he'll drop the ball and you'll be sweet. Like when they do that, and that's what's going to happen to poor old Harley. And this is not a story about me,
but
Harley.
It's all part of the learning of the game, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it is part of it. But it is going to be painful, too, because his thing now is breaking tackles. And Richmond are going to pride themselves in don't let that friggin' young prick break any tackles, all right? Just get hold of him.
Well,
anyone who he brushes off, you know, will be seeing it again on Monday night.
Sounds like you'll need a good lie down on his new temper mattress at the end of the game.
That's Barra. Right.
Oh, by the way, I didn't.
Cuzzy will be giving him a few tips because he's been through it.
Yeah.
He probably told him, he said, mate, what's going to happen now?
He's got a temper mattress as well, hasn't he?
I know, they've both got the
temper. Any chance Barra and I can get a temper mattress?
Well, I don't know how that all worked out.
They're not cheap, mate.
I know. Well, Cuzzy's got the new place and he needed some stuff there.
Good on him.
Yeah, it's going well, the big fella.
So I'm picking the Tigers, by the way, in a very narrow one. I still haven't got the faith yet to pick the Eagles, but I think it'll be very close. Barra, now it's time for this.
Saddle up your camel. It's time for the Thirsty Camel Mailbag.
Yes, thank you to our long-time sponsor, Thirsty Camel. We may head down there for some West Coast coolers. You probably won't find any there. But there's convenience and great value every day, Barra. Shop the way you want, online and in-store. Head to the website or download the Thirsty Camel app today. The special this week, Barra, Jim Beam White, 4.8%, a 10-pack only for $44.99. We have a $50 gift voucher to give away. Get your questions in for next week to Quarters and Barra at wanews.com.au. Please keep them short. You're starting to learn. They're getting shorter, and include your details. Here's one from BKC. G'day, boys. Love your podcast. I wondered if you had noticed Melbourne's draw over the next 5 weeks. Beginning with the Lions match Thursday night, over a five-week period, they play four times at the MCG and have a bye in between. That's four games in a row at their home ground and 5 weeks in their own homes. I wouldn't be surprised if other big Victorian clubs get similar free rides. Yes, they do, BKC. In a competition where teams in all states other than Victoria travel every fortnight, this seems ridiculous. Surely we can do better as a comp and stop teams having such an advantage. At the very least, they should be playing non-MCG teams over these home state runs so they play away from the G every second game. Keep up the good work. Well, you've just talked about the inequality of the competition, which we've known about for some time.
Very good email. Well done.
Yep. This one from Andrew. Hi, Quarters and Barra. After reflecting on Fremantle's very poor history with six losses and no wins against Port Adelaide at Adelaide Oval, should they be the fraying Dockers? Thank you, Andrew. This one from George. Why does the AFL continue to fixture a disproportionate amount of favourable time slots for both of the South Australian clubs?
For both of the South Australian clubs?
Adelaide been getting favourable time slots?
Yeah.
Not sure about that. This one from John from Hammond Park. Guys, anyone who's watched the EPL in recent years would like me to say no to the idea of a captain's call. Like VAR in the soccer, it would start on a simple premise and mission creep will eventually turn it into multiple stops for all manner of pretext. The game is already too long and you might as well give 100 buzzers behind each goal to fans and do a Family Feud-style survey on goal umpire arc referrals as the tech is not up to scratch. You would get a better result. You could get game show hosts in Baboos to present the results. Seriously, though, don't complicate things anymore. Thanks for tolerating the rant, John from Hammond Park. Barra?
Well, captain's call is just one.
I agree. One. Or should it be a player's call, not a captain's call?
Yeah.
Because you have to run from one end of the ground to the other. I think you should have someone designated in each area of the ground.
There's some blokes that just wouldn't have the capacity.
Yep.
And they'd be calling stupid things, you know what I mean? So you need someone who's...
Should you just call it in the last quarter? Should it just be a last quarter
Could be the
thing?
Last quarter. Or there's that suggestion, if it's in the 50-metre areas, because you're probably in the middle, it doesn't really matter, does it? I don't know.
Yeah. Anyway, it's a good call. Hi, guys. Should Freo package all our round one draft pick goodies? They got two, haven't they? And go after the Henry brothers from Geelong. Jack is a free agent and would be a very handy defender forward. Ollie pulled similar numbers to Amos in 23 and would make a formidable pair. Keen to hear your thoughts. Stay cool. That's from The Fridge. Well, it sounds fantastic, and if they're gettable, go, but I don't think the Henrys are going anywhere, quite frankly. I think they're staying where they are.
I'll tell you what, Errol Goulden re-signing.
He was offered 10 years to go somewhere else.
Yeah, where do you reckon he got that from?
Well, it might be over here.
Yes, mate. I think both clubs were right into him.
As you would be.
And you mentioned someone earlier, Taylor. Imagine what Sam Taylor's getting offered. Mm-hmm. He's a West Australian
Van
boy.
Ryan, Logan McDonald, they're all, you know, price is right.
If Sam Taylor's thinking, I suppose if the Giants win one this year, would he think maybe about coming home?
I think he's staying where he is. I think he likes it there. I think he's about to re-sign, mate, so it won't be a conversation.
Mm. Mate, I can't believe they didn't pick him, but anyway.
Yeah.
In the old days.
So a couple of interesting emails here about goal umpiring, Barra. Hey, lads, Dr. Handsome here. Greetings from the croc-infested... Someone's got your nickname, mate. Greetings from the croc-infested and not-so-friendly waters of Darwin. Hello up there in Darwin. Come and borrow my snorkel if you want. Lads, I think I'll get your gold medal prize this week as I am on team umpires. Let me know your thoughts. These goal reviews are getting out of control. Clear goals, points even out, and the fools are getting reviewed just so the goal umpire doesn't look like a goose in front of the players and public. They are umpiring fear of humiliation and have no clear motivation. Why would they subject themselves to a hard time even though they are 99% sure about their decision? Why doesn't the AFL public intensify umpires with a carrot when it comes to how many times they use reviews? If less than 5 times per game, they get a bonus. We could even have an umpire decision of the week award or per game without using technology. We are very quick to slam the umps when they make a bad call, but when you've got 36 bodies on a 360-degree field at one time, fast-paced, high emotions over an 80-minute period, there are a lot of decisions to consider. We need something to intensify and reward the umps to back themselves and get the credit they deserve. Just a thought. Gosh, it's hot up here. Now who's ready for a crocodile swim? Sincerely, Dr. Handsome. That's a really good call. I'm not sure that they're going to do that. And I'll just segue it into this one, Barra. This is a bit more of a rant. This one's from Luke. High Quarters and Barra. Respectfully, stop talking about goal reviews and the Adelaide game last year. Was that goal umpire wrong? Yes. Did it cost them a final? About as much as the players did. The ones who lost Adelaide 5 games by 6 or less points. About as much as the players who lost Adelaide 4 games against teams who finished below them. Or the players who kicked 12 other behinds in that game. It's genuinely disgraceful how you lot think. And also seem to be completely unaware that it's people like you. People like you, Barra. He's talking about me, I think, who are making goal umpire reviews so often. Maybe the reason goal umpire is a little gun-shy is because the whole AFL community incorrectly solely blamed one wrong goal decision on a team missing finals. Hope you actually read this and start critically thinking. Regards, Luke. Jeez, he's had a swing there.
I sense that you might be ready to respond to Luke.
Well, no, I respectfully respond to Luke. we're not the ones forcing the goal umpires to review ad nauseum. The AFL has asked them to.
Because Tom Hawkins hit the post and some bloke missed it in a grand final.
It's not us,
St Kilda got their hearts broken.
That's why
it happened.
It's not us,
Luke. You know that's why the score review came in.
Well,
it was a monumental mistake by a goal umpire, okay? And then last year, it was still happening. The Crows, if this bloke was a Crows fan, he wouldn't be writing like this.
I agree with that.
If the Crows didn't play finals because some bloke didn't see that it was actually a goal by Ben Keys. Mm. I mean, you can't defend, you know, stupidity or horrible mistakes or, you know. And the same thing happened in the Carlton game, didn't it? Everybody at the ground saw that ball deviate off bloody
That was a very poor decision, but they should have killed the game nevertheless.
Yeah, yeah. But we're talking about making bad decisions.
Yep.
Really, really, really bad. That's what's been overshadowed here, that was a really, really, really bad decision.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody at the ground that I've spoken to said you could see the ball move in the air and it had clearly come off something. And then later on you see the replay and you see it was hit again by Jordan Clark and the spoil.
And I think the confusing part of it is one of the umpires is said to have called play it on and there wasn't really much, you know, the conferring really... it didn't look like they were all 100% on the same page, but anyway. Listen, Luke, appreciate it. And just to show what good sports we are, for the passion behind the email, you are this week's winner of the Thirsty Camel $50 gift voucher. So, Luke, we do listen. We actually have read it and we do listen.
Yes.
But I don't necessarily agree with you on all points.
And look, get your
questions in next week, by the way, to quartersandbarra@wanews.com.au. Please forward your details, Luke, and we'll get the voucher to you.
Yeah, and I'd like to hear from Luke again just about...
Oh, we love our mail.
When there is incompetence, mm-hmm. I mean, the players cop it and they get dropped. You know, like, if there is incompetence, you need to sort of address it. You can't just say, oh, well... They were unlucky. There's a lot of things in the games, a lot of emotion, a lot of hype. You know, it can happen. Mate, that was a monumental mistake. And if the Dockers missed the finals by one game...
Like Adelaide did last year.
I know.
Sorry to keep going on about it.
You've got to take responsibility. These guys are professionals. I'm not having a crack at the ounce, but they get good money. Really, really good money. And there's four of them on the field. And Stevic was so experienced. He was right there. I reckon if you asked him... Truthfully, he would say, mate, I thought it actually came off, but I should have spoken up because normally they confer. They didn't confer for whatever reason. So if you make a mistake, let's call it out and just say, let's do better, boys.
It's a half-assed attempt to confer, put it that way.
Or bring in the captain's call and take it out of their hands.
Yep. We have been brought to you by Tab Touch. Got the touch? Download the Tab Touch app today. Chances are you're about to lose. For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au. You have been listening to Quarters and Barra. Barra, good luck with your beloved Perth Demons at the weekend. And good luck to our listeners. Good luck with your tips. We'll be back with you on Tuesday to pour our eyes and ears over the next round of AFL football.